Good afternoon. This week is Parshas Todos, but what a week it's been. It's hard to put into words the shock and the horror of what took place in Eretz Yisrael this week. Talmidei Chachamim, people going to shul, to daven, and in the middle of davening, being murdered by our enemies. And it hits home probably even more this time, as many of the people who have been killed have a connection to the United States, have a connection to us. And in particular, for me personally, the shocking murder of Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yichum Damo, hit home very hard. His brother, Meir Tversky, is my Rebbe. We've been very close for many years. And there are no words to really describe the feelings, the emotions, the persona who Rav Moshe Tversky was is in a certain sense very similar to his brother, although Rav Meir very much looked up to his brother as a tremendous gadol b'Torah, and the different hespedim and things that have been written just tell a little bit of this very, very, very special person, one who really fulfills when Chazal say that you should look for a Rebbe who's Domel Malach Hashem Tzavakos and Yivakish Torah Mipiyu. You should seek to learn out from a Rebbe who has the qualities of a Malach. He's certainly qualified as such, a man of few words, but who could connect people. Tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us a message, it's sometimes hard to decipher what the message is. And maybe for different people the message can be different. But the most important thing, I think at least, is to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He allows these things to happen, when these decrees are issued upon us in the world, upon us in Eretz Yisrael, He's communicating that we need to do something. There's something obviously that we're missing, that we're not doing, that we need to have these wake-up calls. And it doesn't necessarily have to correspond with why it happened. The why question, to me, is never a good question to ask, but it's more a question of what our response is, what are we supposed to do, what message are we supposed to take away. And again, it's hard to know what the definitive answer to that is, but certainly it's to improve ourselves. And in that sense, any inspiration that a person can take is certainly warranted. Two things that struck me, and I'll share, are one is the fact that this took place in the Beis HaKnesses, this took place in the shul, took place during the tefillah. And then for some reason, that strikes us even harder. And the fact that these people could be davening to HaKadosh Baruch, these people could be pouring out their hearts in tefillah, and that even that place could be a place where our enemies will strike us, certainly makes us feel vulnerable. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us that message, even at the moment of tefillah, perhaps one idea that I think, for me at least, to take away from that, is that why does it shock us so much that these things can happen in the Beis Knesset, in the shul, because the shul is our holy place. And maybe it reminds us that we need to be mechazek in making sure that we understand, that we appreciate what Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is about, how we act in a shul, how we talk in a shul, how we daven, that approach. And I think that's certainly one area that for me I would like to examine, and maybe for others as well, that if you see this happens in a shul, and that the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses can in a certain sense be defiled and yet picked up. Today there were hundreds of people in that very same shul, davening mincha and talis and tefillin for Yom Kippur Katan, showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we come back to you and we daven to you and we try to become closer to you, but it may be one of the areas in which that can be is through tefillah. And that connects to the Parsha as well. The Parsha begins with Yitzchak pouring out and Rivka pouring out their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tefillah, seeing that Rivka is not having children. Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach yishtoki akarohi. And he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Vayetar? Vayetar, an etzer, ayin safresh, is a pitchfork. And the Gemara explains, and Pinkus elaborates on this in his Sha'arim B'Tfilah, that the type of Tfilah, the Vayetar is the type where we're going to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and like the pitchfork and the hay, continue to picking it up and up and up until we can manage to move HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Midas Hadin to the Midas Haracham, and realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is in charge, but we can pour out our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tfilah, and there is no power like Tfilah. And that, I think, is one area to think about, is the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses as being mischazik and being extra meticulous, extra careful in the realm of Tfilah, in the realm of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, to reinstill and to reaffirm what the Beis HaKnesses is about, and that Natsuchus, our, but not only our Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos will be safe, but the Jews as a people will be safe and will know of Besoros Tovos. And the second one, which obviously strikes the court as well, is the very shocking suddenness of it, that somebody can go out in the morning to daven and not come home. And then how often is it that we don't take care of the little things and we push the little things off till tomorrow? And Chazal tell us that you should do tshuva, yom echad lifnei amoscha, a day before your death. And then the Talmidim respond, say, well, you never know when. That's the answer. You call the imav b'tshuva, that every day has to be full of tshuva. That's a reminder in that realm as well, is that it comes a time when we can no longer push off. If we know that we have areas that we need to work on, if we have people with whom we need to rebuild relationships, you can't always wait until tomorrow. And that the suddenness of the moment reminds us that we have to keep ourselves in order. There's a very, very, you can probably find it online, but a chilling recording of Rav Moshe Tversky Zatzal giving a shiur in 2012 on the topic of Kiddush Hashem. And more or less what he says, almost a quote of the recording, is, again, you have to be ready for Kiddush Hashem. You can never tell. One never knows, he says. It could happen anywhere. It could happen in Moscow. It could happen in Paris, in London. It could happen in New York. It could happen in Yerushalayim somewhere. Some Arab could come up with a knife. And it could happen. It could happen anywhere, any place, any time. It could happen. And it did happen. And it did happen. And to live a life al Kiddush Hashem is the preparation for the ultimate sacrifice, to die al Kiddush Hashem. Not something that we strive for, but something that a Jew, I guess, is always prepared for. And I think those are the two areas that, for me, are things to take away, is the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, of reaffirming what the shul is, and showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what we use the shul for, and to show that the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is something important to us, and that if these things can happen in Mishas Tefillah, we're going to ensure that we make the most out of our Tefillos and out of our Makom Tefillah. And the realization of our vulnerability, the realization that there's no guarantees in life, and therefore we have to be on top of our game. We have to make sure that we're doing the right things, and that we are approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu with improvements that we need to make, and not pushing things off, not procrastinating, not waiting until tomorrow. Just one or two thoughts about the parsha. One in the realm of bitachon, which again certainly is on the forefront of the response to any tragedy, is the realization that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in charge, who knows what's best. The Torah tells us in our parasha, when it comes to Yitzchak, that Yitzchak, Vayizra Yitzchak Ba'aretz Ahi, and Yitzchak, after the episode of Avimelech, plants in the land, Vayimtza Ba'shona Ahi Me'asha Arim Vayivarachei Hashem. And Yitzchak finds that year that the produce grows Me'asha Arim. Rashi tells us 100 times. So the Farshim ask, how can it be that he found it? Founding sounds like something which you didn't expect. He planted, of course he's going to find. What does that mean? He didn't find it. When you plant it, this is your expectation. It's not a lost and found. What exactly does it mean that he found it? It sounds like it almost happenstance. So one of the Sfarim explains that Yitzchak understood that there's not necessarily a connection between the hishtablus that we put in and the results. And even after planting, the crops that grow could be considered as if they were found. We don't know. We have to put in the effort. We have to do our part. But how it's going to result and what the results are going to be ultimately is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the perspective that's always important to have. And then later on in the parsha, in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk, sorry, in the beginning of next week's parsha, but it relates to our parsha in a certain sense. The Torah tells us in the beginning of next week's parsha that Yaakov says, "V'hinei anochi imach v'shmartichecha shezevcha shevotzichecha mazkilo zevcha." The wrong pasuk. But Hashem called himself, the Torah tells us, in wherever the pasuk is, it's the previous pasuk, "V'elokei Yitzchak," in pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, "Elokei Yitzchak." Why is it Elokei Yitzchak? So Rashi explains that we don't find Hashem in general putting his name on tzaddikim when they're alive. It says Hashem doesn't. There's no faith in anybody until they pass on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to Yaakov, puts his name on Yitzchak because Yitzchak's eyes were already weak. He was confined to his home, and unfortunately, he was as if he was dead because the Yetzer Hara pasach mem, the Yetzer Hara was over. And yet, later on in the Torah, the Torah tells us that Yaakov was afraid to say Elokei Yitzchak in Perek Lamed Aleph, and he said Pachad Yitzchak. And the Taz explains the reason is because it's not derech eretz for a son to say that his father doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. Because saying that somebody doesn't have a Yetzer Hara is like saying that a father doesn't have a purpose in life. It's not respectable, and therefore Yaakov didn't say it. And what that speaks to, what the Taz is speaking to, and relates to our parsha, I'll explain briefly in a moment, is that the idea of having a Yetzer Hara, the idea that there are challenges in life, is part and parcel of what the world is all about. And that is what there are those that explain that was what happened when it came to the brachos as well. That Yitzchak, in a certain sense, why would he want to give the brachos to Esav? The reason he wanted to give the brachos to Esav is because he saw that Esav would need it. Esav was going to, the Yetzer Hara was in Esav, and he wanted to make sure that he had the brachos to give him that extra support. And the Yismach Moshe explains this to us from Rav Biederman in Eretz Yisrael. He says that when Yaakov told his father, "I am Esav," what he was saying was, "I also have a Yetzer. Things aren't perfect for me either." And therefore, when he says, Yitzchak says, "The Hakoko Yaakov, Ayadayim de Esav," he realized that in the end, even with homiletically, it's almost as if it's all referring to Yaakov, that you have the Koko Yaakov. At the same time, there are times when even Yaakov has Yadayim de Esav. There are struggles that Yaakov is going to have as well. And whatever those struggles will be, whether they are personal struggles with the Yetzer Hara or our struggles with the enemy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who can help us. But also, that's really what life is about. And unfortunately, sometimes the struggles are more difficult than others. But the fact that we have struggles and the fact that we have Yetzer Hara and there are things that we need to fix shouldn't be a reason for thoughts of failure, but rather for inspiration that in fact we can do better. And that perhaps connects back to the beginning of the parsha that Rav Shermbach says, why is it that Rashi tells us that the tefillah of Yitzchak was accepted because he was a tzaddik ben tzaddik, and Rivka was a tzaddikess who was the daughter of a rasha. Why would the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik be more readily accepted? Why don't we think that a Baal Tshuva is greater? So Rav Shermbach explains that certainly there is a maila to a Baal Tshuva. But the maila that Yitzchak had, what was greater about Yitzchak, that he was a tzaddik ben tzaddik, was that a tzaddik ben tzaddik sometimes has more difficulty seeing his faults, because he only sees the good around him. And compared to that good, he says, okay, I'm doing fairly well. So to have the inspiration to afal picha and be able to constantly look to grow better is even better than that of the tzaddik ben rasha. When the tzaddik, when the person who's inspired sees the rishah, sees the evil, so it's easy to say, okay, I have to separate myself. I have to separate myself from that. But you don't necessarily have the inspiration to continue going higher and higher. When you have a tzaddik ben tzaddik who sees the tzaddik and says, "Afal pi chen, I'm going to strive to keep on working myself, and every day I'm not going to be satisfied until I work to make myself even better." That's the mail that a tzaddik ben tzaddik has that even a tzaddik ben rasha does not have. Just to conclude with one trivia question, also from Rav Attic. is there are seven times, I believe, in Sefer Bereishis that the number 40 appears. What are those seven times? Wishing everybody a good, warm, inspiring Shabbos and Besoros Tovos in the coming week.